Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Not-for-profit health systems in St. Louis must conduct a community health needs assessment every 3 years to comply with the Affordable Care Act. The assessments help hospitals identify community needs so they can focus time, talent, and resources toward meeting those needs in the coming years. For their latest assessment, SSM Health partnered with BJC Healthcare, Mercy, St. Luke's Hospital, and Shriners Children's St. Louis on a community survey and a series of community listening sessions, and the results are in. By and large, community members identified behavioral health as one of the top health concerns in the area where they live. Dr. Eric Macias, SSM Health's Chief Medical Officer for Behavioral Health in the St. Louis region, understands the region's mental health care needs well, and he joined me last Friday to talk about it. Dr. Macias leads SSM Health's Behavioral Health Urgent Care Clinic on South Grand Boulevard, the first of its kind in the city of St. Louis. Physicians at the clinic see people seeking psychiatric care and substance use support. They also help them receive treatment and medication refills and make referrals. I started our conversation by asking Dr. Macias how things have been going since the clinic opened in August.
Every month we see more people. So the numbers have increased each month. And as people know the services, they come more and more. The other key driver of needs for services is suicidal ideation and the need for suicide prevention in our community. So we also provide that.
How is it that patients arrive to the behavioral health urgent care clinic?
So at first, most patients were coming as a walk-in clinic. They'll just come in and show up. We do need to have partnerships with the EMS services so they can bring patients to us instead of having to bring them to an emergency department. So there are some regulatory needs that we are working with EMS to make sure they're allowed to bring patients to the urgent care. The same goes for the police departments, that they can bring patients to us, not having to drop them in an emergency department.
Mm-hmm. What are the things that a behavioral health urgent care clinic do particularly well? And you know, based on what you have been talking about, is it a useful way to understand what an urgent care clinic does as being, you know, an intervention rather than a treatment?
It's a way for you to get your treatment started. So there are many reasons why people are not getting the right care. The number one is stigma, and sometimes self-stigma, in which not only the person is ashamed for other people, but they're ashamed to acknowledge to themselves that they may have problems with depression, with mood instability, with anxiety, drinking too much, using drugs. So the first step is to overcome that issue. When that happens, if you call a clinic today, you may wait 3 to 6 months to see somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to provide somebody right then and there when you're ready and when you want to take that first step. And I think that's key. So we are open to the patient when they are ready to receive care.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not making them wait 3 or 6 months because sometimes that may be too late.
Right. Without compromising anyone's privacy, is there perhaps an example that you can share of, you know, someone who has come in and gotten the care that they needed such that they would not need to go to an emergency room? For example.
Perfect. And that's one of our goals, is to take the pressure off the emergency department. About a quarter of patients seen in emergency departments today are seen for behavioral health needs. We need to relieve that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you two stories. The first is somebody that moved to St. Louis and could not find a provider to refill their antidepressants. So it's a very simple need, but that person could not find somebody to help her out.
Mm-hmm.
So she came to our clinic, she got the refill she needed, and she got connected to a community resource. So that's one example of somebody that came right off the streets to our department, to our urgent care. The second was actually somebody that was in the mental health care system. This person was in the mental health care system and told her provider that she had thoughts of harming herself. So what do we do then? One option is to send them to the emergency room. In the emergency room, you're going to be triaged. You may wait a couple of hours to be seen by somebody. In our urgent care, we can see people within 1 hour, and we can give them the option to go inpatient, to follow up back to their providers, or to change treatment options. Mm-hmm. So in that case, we were able to give that person the option to go inpatient, which was the safest option for her, and she took it, and she's doing better today.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, when you say off the streets, you mean that it was a walk-in or someone who's experiencing homelessness?
This was a walk-in. Okay. We do see a lot of persons experiencing homelessness, which is a significant challenge for people with mental illness today. Mm-hmm. But this person happened to be somebody that came, you know, just as a walk-in to the urgent care.
Now, you have worked elsewhere in the country. Mm-hmm. You were in Arkansas before.
And Georgia.
And
in
Georgia.
Maryland, yes.
Wow. Okay, so you've been around the country.
Yes.
Oh, and in different regions mm-hmm. as well. Are there mental health challenges that you've noticed that are not necessarily unique to St. Louis, but ones that come up more frequently among those who are coming in to the clinic?
St. Louis reminds me a lot of Baltimore, where I train. There are several things that are similar between the two cities. One thing that I see kind of unique in St. Louis is the fact that we have this bus station, which seems to be a hub for the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, I cannot tell you how many people we have had from the bus station to our hospital with mental health disorders. Sometimes it's somebody that took a bus in Kansas City or in Texas, and they are dropped off in the St. Louis station, and they end up coming to our emergency room or to our inpatient units.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a hub for people either from the north or, you know, because we are so central in the Midwest.
Right. So they're intentionally coming here.
It happens that we see people that come to St. Louis for mm-hmm. care, yes, from different places in the Midwest, because we have a lot of rural and semi-rural regions around us that do not have access to behavioral health care.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see a lot of people from these underserved areas mm-hmm. for psychiatry.
So what you're talking about are like mental health deserts in a way.
And there are plenty of those around the city. If you put a circle around St. Louis for about 5 hours, between here in Chicago and here in Indianapolis and Kansas City and Memphis, you don't have a whole lot of services.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Macias, what potential do you see for improvements at the clinic here in the city?
There are several areas that we want to improve our services. One of them includes taking care of children. Right now, we are seeing only 18 and older. Our plans is to go ahead and see all ages. However, we have a need for a child psychiatrists.
Mm.
And child psychiatrists are in high demand these days. So I would love to create a service that can see any age groups. The other major need that we have is to have places that we can refer people to for long-term inpatient care or residential care.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes adults with intellectual disability disorders. So if you think about it, we do have significant number of services for children with autism or for children with intellectual disabilities. However, when they pass the age of 18, sometimes they do not have as many services.
Right.
So the transition age from childhood to adulthood, especially for those with mental disorders or intellectual disability, is a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, of course, we need to do a better job taking care of pregnant women that have mental disorders, including substance use disorders.
Dr. Macias, how is this work being funded? And is the current situation with federal funding in particular, affecting what you can practically achieve in the next couple of years?
At the moment, we have our seed funding secure, and we are in a good place. In terms of changes in the Medicaid structure, they can directly affect us because a significant percentage of our population are covered by Medicaid. So it is a concern if that changes.
Mm-hmm. What has been the most encouraging thing, Dr. Macias, you have seen since the clinic opened back in August last year?
How this partnership with Places for People and BJC at DuPaul really makes our teams work together. This has been great to see that we're not isolated, that as I am very proud of the SSM Behavioral Health team, I can say that we work well together with others. And I would point out that in St. Louis, there is an organization called Behavioral Health Network that puts together all these organizations talking to each other on a regular basis and being able to cooperate and to help each other. I think St. Louis has a very strong community of providers that is trying to do our best. The needs of the population are such that we're going to need to be more creative as we look forward in the future on how to provide the services, because the needs are such that we need more.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Eric Macias is the SSM Health Chief Medical Officer for Behavioral Health in the St. Louis region. Dr. Macias, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, I thank you, and I appreciate your time.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue talking about mental health access in the St. Louis region. We'll also discuss how access to nutritious food is a major health challenge for the region and what's being done about it. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about the results of a community survey and a series of community listening sessions conducted by SSM Health in partnership with BJC Healthcare, Mercy, St. Luke's Hospital, and Shriners Children's St. Louis. As we heard before the break, community participants in all areas of the St. Louis region identified behavioral health as a top concern. To provide insight into other concerns participants highlighted and discuss how these survey results translate into practical steps, we welcome Dr. Alex Garza, Chief Community Health Officer at SSM Health, and Karen Bradshaw, SSM Health's Regional Director of Community Health. Thank you to you both for coming back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So, Dr. Garza, a few minutes ago, we heard from Dr. Eric Macias regarding his work in mental health care in the region. Of what he shared, what stood out to you the most?
You know, I think what's always challenging when you're talking about mental and behavioral health is how wide-ranging the issues are that really contribute to the behavioral and mental health of our population. So, really, in my conversations with Dr. Macias, I think we always recognize that we're doing a lot, but it feels like it's never enough. And you hear that a lot from community voices, from popular press, things like that. And that, I think, rang true when we went out and spoke with the community as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Karen, you conducted listening sessions with people throughout the region. Was there anything that you heard in those sessions that surprised you, or maybe that you did not fully understand to the same extent previously?
Certainly. I think every time you get the opportunity to listen to folks and hear their lived experience, it can be changing, especially when you think about how we in healthcare delivery can adjust and do better. In this series, we've been doing community health needs assessments. I think this is our fifth or sixth cycle. Hospital systems have to do them every 3 years. Mm-hmm. And behavioral health has always been a top named health problem, leading to us naming it as a priority and creating strategies around it. And things like the behavioral health urgent care come out of those surveys of need, of really trying to increase access to services, access to care, timeliness of connection, as Dr. Macias referred to when you spoke with him. This time around, when we talked and people shared with us either through the electronic survey, and then we did a series of stakeholder conversations with professionals who do this work, and then community conversations directly with specific populations, what we heard is mental health and substance use are still the highest rated health problem identified by folks, but with a little different change in the last couple years. Mm-hmm. The acute services provided by SSM Health, Mercy, BJC are still very much needed. However, people ranked overall mental well-being as being a higher need and concern. The stress-related COVID came up a lot in conversations, that people experiencing that very acute social isolation during COVID has carried over and people are still struggling. Mm-hmm. The stress of life right now, the anxiety, the resulting bullying that happens for children really came up as a need that pivoted a little bit of that focus from those acute services, not that those are still not needed and very much our focus as a health provider, but to really talking about community health and well-being, the need for building resilience skills, the need for just acknowledging everyone's mental health and well-being. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Garza, is that a kind of win that there was that difference?
Yeah, we'll take it as a win, but it's always a recognition that, you know, it's there's always going to be a next step, right? It's like you're never it's hard to declare victory, mm-hmm. but you're always working towards it, and okay. so clearly it's a win.
Food insecurity or food and nutrition security, to put it another way, it did come up in every region. And when you both came on the show last year in May, we spent a good deal of time talking about that subject. And our conversation included some of the strides that have been made with respect to making food available through pantries that are set up at hospitals, for instance. But what else or more needs to happen for significant improvement to be what we're dealing with?
Sure. Dr. This is another space where I think we're learning to build on steps that have been taken. In some aspects, food security or insecurity has come up as an identified problem in survey after survey. Again, this 3-year window, and we're talking about generationally formed disparities that we're not going to solve in 3 years. Mm-hmm. What came up as we talked this year, this round, is that even when chronic diseases like diabetes and hypertension came up as health problems or concerns, when we talked about what is the need at that community level, food came up every time. Mm-hmm. And this time we didn't just list food security as a priority. We changed it to food and nutrition, because what we also heard is there are many folks that are struggling with just getting food. Mm-hmm. And there are so many folks struggling to know what foods to eat, especially those living with chronic disease. Mm-hmm. And the leading of not eating the right foods leading to the diagnoses of chronic disease. And so really, again, trying to build on some gains that have been made, acknowledging that many still struggle with just basic access to food, and trying to build on that with our partners, whether they're other hospital partners, public health departments, whomever, to really then address nutrition security, mm-hmm. having the access to healthy foods, and then for those that live with chronic disease, having the access to the right healthy foods.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other specific concerns that you heard from survey respondents, Dr. Garza, that were mm-hmm. in particular areas of the St. Louis region?
Yeah, the other two, well, one was very specific to the city area, which was violence, which I think we all understand is a particular challenge. And the other was maternal health. So if you look at those four that we identified as top priorities, I think those are pretty shared across the metropolitan area as significant issues that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. And were you expecting to see that?
I, I wouldn't say we expected. We weren't surprised. coming off of COVID with the number of homicides and assaults and things that we see every day in our emergency departments, we weren't that surprised that those were significant issues. And maternal health has always been a high issue in health in the community as well.
The real life experiences of people. Karen, you mentioned earlier that this is like the fifth cycle of community surveys you all have done. And again, this is to comply with the Affordable Care Act. Are there any real life examples of the positive effects that these surveys have enabled you all to actuate?
They look at it in two ways. There's some things that we do specifically within SSM. I will say that surveys and, you know, what we call community health needs assessments and the resulting strategies have helped us develop the behavioral health urgent care. And food security has developed a program within our hospitals that we call the Breadbasket Program, which works with our inpatients who feel safe enough to tell us they're food insecure. And even broader than that, doing this community health needs assessment with our other hospital system partners, and then knowing that our public health department partners also have to do these every 5 years. The city and county health departments did this 2 years before us, and we have not surprisingly gotten many of the same answers and feedback from community and have the same identified priorities. So the hospitals just did this round, and all of SSM Health's named priorities align with the city and county's public health department's community health assessment and their strategies. So instead of doing our own work moving forward, we're trying to align as institutions and with community partners to say, okay, everyone is telling us these are the priorities. We have got to align as a region to address these. So we have certain things we do within SSM, like resulting the creation of behavioral health urgent care or the long-acting injectables clinic for those with substance use disorder. To the Breadbasket Program. Those are very unique in SSM, and yet they're part, and we want them to be part of a larger regional focus on these large priorities that impact everyone, regardless of where they get their specific health care.
And as we close here, Dr. Garza, so much of, you know, perhaps most of a person's health comes from their everyday actions, and not necessarily interactions with the healthcare system, and that's something you've talked about before.
Right.
You and Karen, you're representatives of a healthcare provider, so you're focused on solutions. Do you see, or how is it that you see SSM's health's role? How does it promote better health outcomes regionally?
Yeah, that's a great question, since we're primarily a healthcare delivery system. But Karen and mine, our team's work is really to focus on those things outside of the acute delivery of healthcare. And so we focus on those things like food insecurity, like behavioral health, those other issues. So one of the other things that we do is using some of our economic benefit is to drive community improvement. And so one of the things that we've just recently done was to enter into an agreement with the St. Louis Credit Union to offer lower interest loans to people that wouldn't necessarily have means to loans to do businesses, buy cars, things like that.
Dr. Alex Garza is the Chief Community Health Officer at SSM Health, and Karen Bradshaw is SSM Health's Regional Director of Community Health. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
This episode was produced and engineered by Emily Woodbury.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.